Hey, welcome to the Daniel A. Nelson Podcast Show. This is the place where we play and talk about the music you love. Today, I'm excited because I have Keon Galloway with me today. Say hello to my audience.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? How's it going?
All right. We can barely hear you.
Oh, let me try to fix that and put my other AirPod in.
Okay.
So my AirPods. What about now? Is that good?
Somewhat better.
If not, I'll take them out.
Yeah. No, not really.
Oh my. Let's see. Was it better? I took my AirPods.
Yeah, man, but I'm excited today because I know I just met you this year and you had talked to me and you got some exciting things going on and you have done some exciting things in your musical journey. And I want to get my audience to get familiar with you because you guys got a lot of stuff that's coming up and some things that you already have put out. So with that, I want to ask my first question and ask you, how did you get into the business? How old were you when you started? And tell me your instrument that you play.
Well, I started when I was around, I'd say 3 or 4 years old. My family are big on music and singing and stuff like that. My dad is a professional guitar player, Gary Purcell. He played for Chairman of the Board. My mom played the B-flat clarinet. And then a lot of my aunts and uncles were singers and musicians. So I kind of started on my journey when I was like 3 years old, banging on pots and pans and stuff in the house. I never really actually owned a drum set until I got old enough to purchase one on my own. But okay. I remember when my mother, we went to visit my aunt in Virginia, and we went by a flea market. Back in the 90s, flea markets were like very, very popular where I'm from in North Carolina. So we stopped by there and she bought me a electrical drum set. And I kind of broke it maybe like the first week when I was playing on it. So that was the end of that. And then, you know, fourth and fifth grade, the school I went to, they had a lot of, they really catered to the arts. Oh, okay. So I did a lot of choir and show choir and theater and then a lot of music. And, you know, once I got towards going to middle school, to go into sixth grade, they sent us a sheet that said, fill out the instrument that you want to play. So I actually put down trumpet. And my mom said, she said, boy, as much as around this house, you're not playing no trumpet. So ever since then, I've been on the drums since then, man.
Oh, that's cool. So you're 3 years old, sir. when you started playing, huh?
Yes, sir. Three years old.
Hey, ask you this. You talked about the formal. Yeah, have you had any type of formal lessons or anything, or did it come natural?
It came natural. I didn't have any lessons other than when I was in middle school. I actually had a band teacher. My sixth, seventh, and eighth grade year, I had a band teacher for a class. But okay. Anything outside of that, far as like private lessons, and it was more so, this is what I wanted to do. I started to imitate drummers from my city. One of the guys named Jeffrey Callens. He was maybe like 2-3 years older than me, but he was very good, you know, and I was like, oh, he's like the nicest one in the city.
Okay.
And another guy, Mario, it was Jeff and Mario. So they were like the brother, they were friends, but it was just weird because it was a set of brothers and then another set of brothers. One brother named Eric and the other one named Jeffrey Callens. They played keyboard and drums. And then the other one was Mario and Devon. And that was the keyboard and drums. So it was like, I looked up to those musicians growing up. So they were like,
where are you from, Keon?
I'm from Reidsville, North Carolina. Small town. No one will know.
Because I find it interesting. You mentioned those guys and you know, you mentioned this, you know, the small city. But, you know, I want everybody to know where you came from.
Yeah.
So now, let's just kind of fast forward just a little bit. You do any drumming in college?
I marched in the band at North Carolina A&T State University. The Blue and Gold Marching Machine. My freshman year was 2004. And then myself and another my high school friend that I graduated with were the first youngest section leaders, which was actually the next year. So that really never really been done. And I was section leader up until that point. And I didn't get to finish college, though, because I got picked to go on tour with a major artist. So I started playing drums in college, and it just took me to a whole nother level.
Yeah. You couldn't pass up the opportunity, huh, with the artist.
Definitely couldn't.
Oh, that's cool. Let me ask you this. When you went on tour with the artist, what was the work ethic like?
Oh, man. So the first tour that we ever went on, it was a one-month tour. But we rehearsed for 2.5-3 weeks, 7 days straight, from like 10 a.m. to maybe 5, maybe sometimes 7. And oh my goodness, I was used to it, because being in the marching band, you have to be up at like 5 in the morning during camp, and we do camp for like a month. So you're talking about like 30 days being up at 5 a.m. and not going back to sleep to maybe 1:32 a.m. in the morning to do the same thing again the next day. So I was semi like the band had already like prepared me for that. So it wasn't as bad as I thought, but definitely a great experience moving forward, because I learned so much more than I expected while doing that on tour.
Okay, so let's get more in detail with the touring, because I know there are a lot of people, you know, who are touring. There are some people who want to tour, but let's get into more in detail with that. What was it like, you know, just trying to catch the planes and rooms and, you know, different riders that you guys had to deal with? How did that stuff work out?
Well, it was honestly, it was a smooth sail. the guy that I actually went on tour with, his name is Peter Fox. He's like, I would say like the Jay-Z, the P. Diddy of Germany.
Okay.
And that was really, really easy, because he had a financial backing. You know, he was also a part of a group called Seed, who were like, I don't know, when you speak of like major groups in the United States, like Wu-Tang Clan or like Earth, Wind & Fire, like major groups, they were like that major reggae, dancehall, pop, R&B, rock group. They did all genres of Europe. So it was really, really easy. Like, it was send us your name, full name, birth date of birth, all of this, you know, and they sent the email with flight verification, passport information. We get on a flight, you know, we fly across the country. We get there, and you know, the first time we get there, we're getting in Mercedes Benzes as taxis, though. Like, here in America, taxis be like Oldsmobiles or some old model car,
right?
All of the taxis there were like Benzes, every single one of them, like E-Class, C-Class, S550s, and that was definitely a shocker for us, but it was really easy. We had, each individual had, we had our own flat, We all had our own space, our own home, you know. I had a full, like, one-bedroom apartment, you know, and they put us up in the apartment for the duration of the rehearsals. And then when we got on tour, we had two double-decker tour buses. The top bus, the top of the bus had beds, like 12 beds. Ooh. At the top, and a lounge at the bottom, and then at the front and back of the bus there was two lounges. So it was like, what? For real, this is how we're doing this? And it was really, really cool, man. It was the only thing that we had to really get accustomed to, that I had to get accustomed to, was like the eating food.
Okay.
You know, and in the States we have access to everything. There is like, okay, what am I going to eat? Schnitzel? I don't know what that is. So so it took a while to get used to the food. But
yeah,
it was great.
All right. Now we'll fast forward, because I know you're back in the States now. And again, like I had mentioned in my introduction, I just recently met you this year. And you're working on some good stuff. That you want to tell the audience what you got going on?
As of right now, me and my fiance, my wife, soon to be wife, we have started a band in Southern California. The band is called the Live and Love Band, and that's what we live by. It's like our motto: we live and we love. Everything we exemplify for as ourselves and who we are as a people, we live to love people. And We've been on the hunt and definitely met some great individuals, such as yourself and a few other guys and ladies that we met that's going to go along with us on this journey, to just do what we love to do. It's not about money. It's about doing what you love to do, expressing it, and making somebody feel good about coming out. Feel good about them day, feel good about themselves. And with what we portray as individuals, me and my wife, we give that even in the music. So that's something that you feel when we step on the scene, because that's just how we, this is how we live. And that's one thing that we are happy to really step into that avenue of. We're both gigging musicians as well. My wife, her name's Jessie Story. Go check her out on Spotify, Instagram, YouTube, wherever. Her music is all over the place. Sorry for that. Somebody's wanting to drive their car fast.
That's all right.
and they went nowhere fast. So yeah, but you know, we're gigging musicians on the East Coast, and we wanted to branch off and really kind of expand ourselves and go into a different era and different life. And the West Coast was the place to be. We love the weather, and that's one thing that we're kind of doing now is the Live and Love Band, which is right now five musicians, three frontline, seven musicians, eight musicians total. And soon we'll be rocking and rolling in some locations out there in the Southern California area.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. As a matter of fact, I met your wife, and I know she just released a new single. Lights Off, if I'm correct.
Yes, sir. Lights Off.
Lights Off. Okay. Yeah, you guys need to go to Spotify, check it out. It's a nice feel to that song. I mean, that's one of those songs that you kind of like, you know, if you got a little time to cruise a little bit, you can listen to that three or four times. It's a smooth, got a nice little groove to it. So you guys want to check that out on Spotify, Amazon. Her name is Jessie Story. But anyway, let me ask you this. Your practice regimen, what is that like? Because I know there are a lot of people playing drums or whatever instrument they play. But I want to know about your practice regimen. I know everyone has a different way of practicing, but tell my audience about how you approach practicing and then even getting ready for a show.
I'll start with practicing and then segue to how I get ready for a show. My practice, I'm basically break down stuff in my rehearsal. I do segments at a time. I don't try to go into it as, let's say, with one song, for example. I don't know. Let's just say Never Too Much. It was at Luther Vandross, right? So yes. I'll really dissect the song all the way to, okay, I get a sheet of paper. I'll write intro. I'll write pre-chorus. I'll write verse. I'll write hook. I'll write tag, bridge, whatever the song portrays, whatever the song portrays at that time, whatever segment it does. And then I will practice each and every single one of those. Because it's very, very important to know when, where, how, and what to do when you play these songs. A lot of times people know the song and they know the backbeat and the groove, but then when it comes to that never too much bum 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 da, da, they don't know that it's two different ways to play that part. You know,
okay.
So it's the way they play it the first time, and then it's the way they play it the second time. It's totally different from the first time because of the timing. And you know, I really try to approach the music to make sure that I'm learning it exactly how it is before I put my own flavor into it. I work on single strokes. I work on definitely my rudiments because I am a marching band person. Okay. So I work on match grip and I work on traditional grip to just work my muscles and my hands in both ways. and I really just kind of stick to pocket cleanliness, placement, timing. I work on just mainly those things. Pocket cleanliness, placement, and timing. Because all of that is super important when you're playing with multiple people. Now, how I get prepared for shows is I play all of the music nonstop. I'll record myself. One, I'll say it, record it from first song to last song, and then play it back, and then listen to myself playing the track. When I listen to myself playing the track, I say, okay, my timing was off on this track. Let me make sure that on this transition, I make sure that I'm coming in with the right tempo on beat one versus like the E of one, you know, one E. I can be like, oh, I'm a little too late. I don't want to feel like I'm rushing it. Or, okay, this feel that I did on this song, it sounds like it don't fit. So let me figure out another feel that will fit the style of the song. So that's when that comes into play and basically solidifying exactly what I'm gonna do. So when I get on the stage and I rehearse with the full band, it's okay, this is what I'm gonna do on these songs. And it makes it a lot easier for everybody to really be on one accord when, of course, the drummer is on point with everything that he's doing.
Okay. Man, that's cool. Let me ask you this. How do you, well, if you ever been in a drum slump, how do you get out of that? I mean, there are times where I've heard of musicians and like saying, I'm just in a slump. I don't know what to practice, or I just don't know how to get out of this thing. How do you do it? If you ever been there?
I don't think I've ever been in that before.
Okay.
Because I'm just different, and I don't want to like boast about myself or nothing like that, but I don't want to sound too cocky and arrogant because I'm not. I feel like there's so much more that I can better myself at as a musician that there's no reason why I should be in a slump or in a place where I can't get out of. Because, you know, there's always something that you can learn. There's always something that you can learn. If you are a drummer that's really good with coming out of the pocket and putting fills and chops all over the drum set, cool. Then that's what you practice on. That's what you practice on. But how would you feel if you couldn't do that all the time? So if there's something that you need to rehearse, like there's always something to work on. Always. There's never nothing to work on. So if you like that, hey, work on your pocket. Play some old school where it ain't no fills, and you just gotta lock in them two and fours on that backbeat of that snare drum. Or start thinking about, okay, let me make sure that I'm playing with proper technique. You know what I mean? Like, how do I get the same cross cross stick on my Knox on the snare drum. For the people, it's like cross stick is basically when your snare is like on the rim and the stick. How do I get consistent cross sticks when I'm doing cross sticks? You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's almost like in relation to a keyboard. If I can press the key with this type of pressure every time, it's going to give me the same C every single time.
Right.
So when I'm doing a cross stick, how do I continue to play that same cross stick in the same spot to give that same knock sound that every time I hit in that spot? So it's just, it's a whole lot that you can actually work on. It's just some people just choose what they want to work on. There's always something to do, always.
Man, well, that's much well needed to hear, because, you know, like I said, I would hear it sometimes, you know, when people say, oh, I'm just kind of stuck on this or stuck on that. And then, and I'll be honest with you, what you said, I have done that, because I'm like saying, okay, let me try a different inversion of playing the song. I'm talking about even just the whole song. You know, just to kind of give me something fresh. But I appreciate you saying it, because the audience need to hear that. Look, I don't want to keep you too long, but I just want to ask you, what advice can you give to drummers that are coming up, or even just any musician, you know, as far as just character, all those things? What advice can you give to musicians?
A couple things. One, don't be afraid to be who you are as a drummer. Don't ever be shy and afraid to be who you are as a drummer. And I can attest to that, because as a youngster, Gospel Chops was the thing that everybody was like trying to be. Everybody wanted to be that. So it almost kind of put people in a box to where it was, if you can't do that, then you aren't good. You know what I mean? Wow. But then there was older people saying, don't worry about doing all of the chops. It's okay to do the chops. That's cool. That's fine. But pocket pays bills. And it didn't stick with me at that time, because I was young and I was trying to fit in. You know what I mean? I was trying to fit in. One of my favorite drummers is Thomas Pedro. Everybody knows he's an amazing drummer. But during the Gospel Chop eras, they would have said a lot of people liked Tony Royster. I don't think that he's a terrible drummer at all. He's great. Right. He's out of control. Dude. Right. You know what I mean? So he's amazing, but I didn't cling to Tony Royster's style. I cling to Thomas Pedram style, because he felt like he was more free with his playing, and he didn't confine into what Gospel Chops was. And I don't knock Gospel Chops. I don't knock anything. I say all that to say, don't be afraid to be who you are as a drummer and how you want to approach the music. Continue to be great. Always continue to work on stuff, and I leave y'all with making the worst great and great better, because one thing that a great can continue to do is get better. You can always continue to get better. Every great musician never stopped getting better. One of my favorite bands ever is Prince and his band. They're out of control.
Right.
Like everything there. I mean, all the bands from the 80s, when you think about it, your James Browns, your Frankie Beverly and Maze, your Earth, Winds and Fires, they really, the approach of the music, the Funkadelics, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of them, like, their just approach to the music, it was a feeling instead of the chop, you know?
Right.
And I think sometimes people take the chop too far, where it get chopped up too much, to where there's nothing to build from it. And yeah, guys, and ladies too, man, like I said, continue to be who you are. Find who you are as a musician and make that what it is, and never think that because you're not doing what somebody else is doing that you're not better or you're not good at all. Because there is always a place for everybody. Everybody. There's a place for everybody.
Man, Keon Galloway. Ladies and gentlemen, Keon Galloway. Man, yes, thank you for all the information and just taking time out of your day. Because I know you're back. Well, I ain't going to tell everybody where you are, but I know you're not in California right now.
Yeah, I'll be back tonight.
I thank you for just taking time out to do this, man.
Yes, sir, man.
Eventually, I want to get your wife on. And then the next time, we'll get both of you guys on together and see how you guys collaborate. So we're going to make that happen real soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on here, man. Let's continue to work, man. You're doing great things out here.
All right, great inspiration. God bless you, man. And then we'll be talking a little later on.
Yes, sir. We'll do.
All right. Be blessed.
All right. You too, brother.